going to go right to the big news.
The most extraordinary turnaround in George Papandreou's political fortune.
We have no idea the source of this witch hunt.
There are dozens of broken windows all around the City Hall area. Some of the Occupy protesters helping with cleanup.
They've got another chance to vote for a jobs bill.
This isn't easy. It's going to be very, very hard.
Well, it's not hard to think about the news stories that an unpredictable week was filled with and to look at those headlines and back at the week that was. We've got Jeff Yang with us, who writes the Tao Jones column for The Wall Street Journal and blogs for our co-producer, WNYC, It's a Free Country. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning.
And our good friend Farai Chidea is here in the studio, journalist and blogger at Farai.com. Good morning, Farai.
Hi, John.
And it's great to talk to Ron Christie once again, Republican political strategist, CEO of Christie Strategies, and former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Ron, you're in an undisclosed location, right?
Undisclosed location, otherwise known as Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Exactly. Great. Well, it's great to have all three of you here. I'm tempted to go, all right, who's going to jump in and talk about the big headline this week? But let me sort of assign somebody. Farai Chidea, what do you make of the Herman Cain problems?
Well, there's been a lot of updated coverage. And so the New York Times just posted another article that really dealt with the accuser, one of the accusers. And the question is, I think that the million-dollar question is, will one of these women step forward, given the fact that they're basically under a legal mandate not to?
A confidentiality settlement based on their experience at the National Restaurant Association. Let's just remind people that Herman Cain is accused of sexual harassment during the time he was head of the National Restaurant Association. You know, Ron, on this program, you alluded that this was a race issue in a African-American candidate confronting this sort of media smear.
I did. And, you know, I'm going to walk back a little bit from my comments. I do think that race certainly had a little bit to do with this. But as much as I loathe the Democrats playing the race card on financial or policy matters, you know, I think Mr. Cain was wrong to have invoked the high-tech lynching metaphor that he used earlier this week. What we've learned, John, is that, frankly, his campaign is not up to the task. He should stop talking to reporters, and he should start talking to voters in Iowa and New Hampshire. And the more he talks, it just reveals that his campaign and his candidacy is not ready for prime time.
All right. That's Ron Christie. We're also talking with Farai Chidea and Jeff Yang. So we'll let you sort of mediate this here. Is it a media story, Herman Cain, or is it a skill set story of a candidate faltering?
You know, at this point in the cycle, so to speak, I'm not sure there's a big difference. I think it's kind of remarkable that, to paraphrase Jay-Z, Herman Cain has 999 problems, and he's still kind of rolling along. He's raising money. He's still ahead in the polls. But you know, the reality here is it's amazing that it's taken this to really give him any kind of a stumble. I mean, you know, there are plenty of other reasons to question his candidacy, and for a set of incidents that have hitherto remained kind of silent since the 1990s to be the big kind of hurdle that he's reaching is amazing.
And as Farai says, it remains to be seen whether any of these women who are part of the allegations, who are involved in settlements that bind them to confidentiality, some of them receive tens of thousands of dollars, $45,000 I think is one of the settlements, $35,000 is maybe the other. It remains to be seen whether they will come forward. But Farai Chidea, listen to this. Herman Cain got some, shall we call this, help from Ann Coulter earlier this week.
To become a black Republican, you don't just roll into it. You're not going with the flow. You have fought against probably your family members, probably your neighbors. You have thought everything out. And that's why we have very impressive blacks in our party. I mean, that's why our blacks are so much better than their blacks.
African-American commentator Ann Coulter there.
Yeah, exactly.
Expert
yeah,
is she helping? What's she saying
She's
there?
She's the decider when it comes to black people. So I guess if you transported her back 400 years, she'd be standing there by the slave galley saying, go, don't
no,
go.
No. Whoa. Well, Ron, what do you think? Did Ann Coulter help?
I don't know. I mean, Ann's a friend of mine. I do understand what she's saying. I mean, I've taken so much grief from my family and my friends of why are you Republican and what are you thinking? And
really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. So this resonates, this idea.
But Ron,
that,
don't you think that Ann is, I mean, the thing I admire about Ann Coulter is that she gets paid. And I think she was just saying that to make money, which does not make it a better thing.
Or
it
wrong.
Just,
no.
Exactly.
It makes it wrong, but in a different way than if she totally believed it.
And I agree with my friend Fry here. I mean, there's no question in my mind that Anne is a shock jock, and she did that knowing that she was going to get the maximum amount of airplay for it. But it resonates with me, John, that, yes, I mean, am I sent emails every day calling me an Uncle Tom every day of the week? About 20 of them. Does it put me back for wanting to come on air and be a conservative? No, but Ann Coulter did touch on something that I think that resonates with a lot of black conservatives, which is if you're African American and you espouse Republican or conservative beliefs, that there are people who will criticize you just for that.
There are also people who will embrace you. Let's be real.
You can give me a hug anytime, my friend.
All right. See, I'm totally depressed that there's agreement now between Ron Christie and Fry Chadea. That's not what I was hoping for this morning, guys. So I don't know if we're going to have you back. Jeff Yang, let's talk about Occupy Wall Street.
Sure.
The tenor of the confrontations and a sense of where this is going got a little less certain this week. What happened?
Well, you know, what we're seeing here obviously is a kind of reframing, you know, of the narrative, if you will. There's a backlash going on in the media, and I think that at this point, there are a lot of people who are saying, well, it's time for these protests to do more than just protest, that there needs to be an action, an agenda, and so forth.
And that's what Oakland was about.
And that's what Oakland was about. And you know, at the same time, even though there were problems that came out of that, nonviolent protests got a little bit less nonviolent, and you know, certainly the reaction of the police and in and around Oakland has kind of shifted the nexus of this conversation.
But does it escalate from here, or is this sort of an end point?
I think actually one of the things that we have to kind of look at is that in Greece, for instance, we have people who are running through the streets. There's the same level of, you know, concern and tension around the austerity measures there that we are probably going to see now as the super committee, for instance, unveils its plans. There's going to be a lot of hurt. And there are a lot of people already hurting.
And we're seeing anger on both sides of the aisle in the American political system right now. We're talking with Jeff Yang, Fry Chadea, and Ron Christie. All right, before we go in the guilty pleasures department, who wants to take Kardashian?
I just think that the sponsorship of that wedding, it's like someone in business school should write a huge paper on where the money came from. I mean, like, basically that wedding was...
We should remind people, this is public radio. There are some people who don't know that Kim Kardashian got married and then got divorced 72, or announced a divorce 72 days later.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do have to provide more background. So for anyone who's not obsessed with voluptuous women marrying sports stars, just, you know, Google Kardashian, you'll find everything you need. And basically, it's just like the wedding was an entertainment property. It was treated as such. It was bought and sold as such.
And it offensive.
Lasted about as long as such.
That's
and that's right. offensive to me, you know.
Ron, you got a comment on that?
Well, it just proves to me that reality television isn't reality and that people will do or say anything to get on television and to make a buck. And it's just really a sad commentary that the most important thing in the world, marriage, a union between a man and a woman, has been debased this way by two crass people.
Jeff Yang, you want to take us out?
I think the best tweet I've seen about this relates to, somebody saying, they keep on saying it's the gays who are degrading the fabric of traditional marriage, right?
So, okay, interesting point. Jeff Yang writes the Dow Jones column for the Wall Street Journal and blogs for It's a Free Country, the politics website for our co-producer WNYC. Fry Chadea is a journalist and blogger at Fry.com. And Ron Christie, Republican political strategist, CEO of Christie Strategies and former special assistant to President George W. Bush. What did you guys go for as Halloween? Jeff?
I was Cato from the Green Hornet.
Oh, that's awesome. Right. I was Medusa.
You're Medusa. Nice. And so is Celeste. Celeste was Medusa,
awesome.
Actually, here in the studio. Ron, how about you?
I was lame. I dressed up as a political commentator.
You do that every day. Thanks so much, guys.
Take care, y'all.
What's the story from the past week that had you and your friends talking? Head to the Facebook page and join this roundtable right there. That's facebook.com/thetakeaway. Special thanks this hour to a few of our producers, Jillian Weinberger and Violet Luca. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.